Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
Josh, I love the intros, but man, that one was that's last year's intro.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Oh, hey.
Once again,
I'm cracking. He's cracking the lid.
We did this last time. You have to speak on the show for me to give you an intro.
You know what? You're right.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I feel like a jerk. I really do. Like, that was terrible.
It's Rob Domofsky on Gin, Game, and Chewy.
We enjoy talking to Rob Domofsky on Mondays here on Gin, Game, and Chewy, ESPN NFL Nation reporter for ESPN. Good morning, Rob. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Gabe. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's a victory Monday. Packers beat the Bears. Hard to be any better. First place in the NFC North. How impressed were you with Jordan Love bouncing back from a very strange interception to play as well as he did?
Yeah, it was out of character for the way he's played the last, you know, month or even more. He hadn't had an interception in four straight games. The thing I thought was really good and interesting was just his downfield throws. Like, you know, we saw it last week against Detroit. You know, he started to hit on some downfield throws. He had, I think, two touchdown passes yesterday on throws that were considered downfield, 20 yards or more. So it's two straight games with those kinds of touchdowns after having zero the first game, 12 games of the season. So I do think the downfield passing game has been a big, big spark for them.
Rob, are the Bears good?
I do. I think they are good, Chewy. I mean, I don't know that they're great. I don't know that they're, you know, if they have a superstar on offense where you're like, we cannot let this guy beat us. But I do think they're, you know, they've sort of figured out how to win with the group that they have. That's a sign of good coaching, you know, whether anybody wants to admit it, especially Matt LaFleur, whether he wants to admit it or not. It's a sign of good coaching. And I think the Packers better be ready in 2 weeks or less than 2 weeks now with 12 days to go down there and get the Bears' best shot at Soldier Field, on that Saturday night game.
After watching the Matt LaFleur press conference, when he talked about Christian Watson, I walked away from that thinking, okay, Matt wants to get the ball to Christian Watson more. Did you have that same impression, or is that just me seeing the growth that I've seen in Christian Watson and projecting my thoughts onto Matt LaFleur?
I mean, it could be a little bit of that, Gabe, but, I mean, he also wants to get the ball to Jaden Reed. He wants to get the ball to Josh Jacobs. He wants to get the ball, to Romeo Doubs, who he even brought up, you know, really didn't, for whatever reason, didn't have anything yesterday. So, look, I think he realizes, as we all do, that Christian Watson has, an ability that, you know, maybe not many of these guys have. And the thing that I thought was really, really good about Watson is, like, you saw him do it from the outside receiver position. You saw him do it from the slot. He put his foot in the ground in that slant and just beat his guy off the line, you know, like a Davante Adams would. And then his acceleration was like a Jordy Nelson would, right? Like on that play, it was, you know, a really impressive play all the way around. And I'm sure when he saw that there was only one, I think there was a single safety on that play, that he probably knew he was getting the ball and had a chance to go.
Rob, it sounds like LaFleur had a little problem with the officiating yesterday. I just want to throw three. I just want to get your take on three of the penalties: the Keyshawn unsportsmanlike, the Loveland interception, and the Musgrave catch. Did you agree with any or all three of those, or what was your take?
The problem with the Keyshawn one is it's just the classic case of you get the second guy, right? Like, I mean, that's just, you know, I mean, I don't know how you don't see somebody put their hands on someone's neck.
The official was right there on the replay. It happened right in front of him, Rob.
Yeah, that I don't get that. I sure had a hard time with the Musgrave one. I just did not see, you know, I think because it was called the way it was called on the field, I thought it was hard to overturn. I think it would have been the same way if it was called, incomplete or whatever on the field. I just think it was a hard one to overturn. I did not see on that interception. That's the one where they ended up ruling it incomplete, right?
Yes, correct.
I did not. The two options I thought were, you know, their ball with a catch or the Packers ball with an interception. I did not see incomplete.
Yeah.
Ball never touched the ground, Rob. Like, how can it be an incomplete pass when it doesn't touch the ground?
Yeah, I did. If you want an entertaining look at, someone's belief and view of the officials, go look at Wes Hodkowitz's timeline. He's, of course, the Packers.com writer. And look, I love Wes, you know, but he works for the Packers. He's going to have maybe a little bit stronger views. Yeah. But Wes is just hilarious when it comes to the officiating. He is so funny. And he was obviously not a fan of Craig Rolstad's crew.
Well, since we're talking about the officiating, as we talk with Rob Domofsky here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, has Micah Parsons drawn a hold at all this season?
He has drawn a hold or two. It's not many, though, Gabe. It really isn't. And I think it was, wasn't it the week after this was originally a topic, they called one, right? Like,
okay.
I can't remember which game it was, but there was a month or so ago we were talking about this with him. And he finally got one like the next game, and I don't know that he's gotten one since.
How is this possible that the officials just refused to call hold? Because I know LaFleur was frustrated with one yesterday. Like, this dude is the first person in NFL history to have 12 or more sacks to start his career in each of his first five seasons. And somehow this is the guy that everybody's constantly blocking legally?
Yeah, so Mike actually had an interesting take on that post game. I'm trying to find his quotes here. I'm going to have to paraphrase it because I don't have it in front of me. But he said, you know, and this is interesting. He's like, the officials call holding when it's on the chest, like from, you know, the middle part of your body, shoulders, outside the shoulders. They don't call it above the neck. And he said, he said, look, I'm shorter than most pass rushers. You know, he's only 6'3". He tends to get really low around the edge, and he said, I don't know if he's wrong or right on this, but he basically said that stuff above the head isn't holding. I don't know if he means it isn't holding because they don't call it, or it isn't holding because the rules say it isn't holding, but he doesn't seem as frustrated, or didn't seem as frustrated by it last night as he has been in previous games.
Rob, is there a case for Ingabari to be starting over Rashawn Gary? He just seems more disruptive than Gary.
For a while, or at least, you know, the snap counts were pretty even. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's just like the exposing of Rashawn Gary has been in full force the last, you know, half of the season when, you know, started out pretty good with Micah drawing some double teams, and Rashawn is not been able to do it. Yesterday, Chewy, they played basically the same amount of snaps. Gary played 40, and Ingabari played 39. So, okay. You know, I don't think Ingabari's sack total is very high this year, though, either. He seems to have gotten, I think yesterday, was that really only his second sack? Dave, do you have the stats up? I don't have it in front of me, but I don't think he's had a ton of sacks this year.
Yeah,
but
he's only got two sacks.
Yeah, which I was surprised at when I looked at it last night.
He does have a sack and a half in the last two games.
Yeah, he's also making a lot less money than Rashawn Gary. I know you shouldn't play guys because they make money or they don't make money, but in the long-term picture, Chewy, I don't know how you bring Rashawn Gary back at the salary that he's going to make.
Well, I mean, but you can make the argument that Ingabari made two of the biggest plays on defense yesterday. He had the lone sack, and then he made the stuff on third and one that made fourth and one happen, and the Bears throw the ball, and that leads to Keyshawn's play.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, just when you're looking ahead to next year, I mean, you know, Rashawn Gary's base salary is $18 million next year. They could, you know, they'll save $10 million on their cap if they cut him, almost $11 million actually.
Yeah.
It would be close to $20 million if they did it after June 1 or designated it after June 1. I don't see how he's on this team next year. I don't see how Nate Hobbs is on the team next year at that Ooh. Salary. But that's those are off-season problems. They're trying to win a Super Bowl right now.
Well, I guess since we're talking about some off-season stuff, I had a thought yesterday as we were doing our pregame show, Rob. has Sean Ryan done enough where he could potentially stick around at center? Because to me, since he started playing center and since Belton came in to play right guard, this team is starting to run the football the way they want to run the football.
Yeah, it's interesting. A couple of weeks before Elgton Jenkins got hurt and when they had seemingly settled on, was it Jordan Morgan starting or getting more of the snaps at right guard until he wasn't, Sean Ryan had some pretty direct comments to us, basically saying, "I know I'm done here.
Really?
I'll be playing somewhere. I'll be playing somewhere else next year. I guess I just got to get through the year and then see where I end up." And less than a month later, he's starting and playing well. At what is not necessarily his natural position. So, I do think it's possible he's found a home here. But Elgton Jenkins has still got to be. He's got to play. So, Elgton, and they seem more happy with Elgton Jenkins play at center than maybe some of us think, or I just didn't necessarily think it was very good, but I did, I do think they seemed happy with it. So it's a good question.
Well, because I guess I just assume Elton's gone because of his contract.
And he might be, he might be as well. He wanted a contract extension or at least more money.
Guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when he moved to center, and now he might have played his way right off the team too. But his number next year is the same thing. It's $18.5 million. It's almost all in base salary, which means they could save. And he doesn't have he's toward the end of the proration of his signing bonus, so they'd save that whole thing if they moved on from him. So. Yeah, they got some questions and some things to answer on the offensive line, but Anthony Belton seems like he's settled in too.
Found your right guard for sure.
Yeah, seems like it.
What about Rashid? Is he gone for sure, Rob?
Yeah, you can't pay all these offensive linemen, right?
Yeah.
They're paying Zach Tom. They had been paying Elgton. So maybe if you let one of those numbers go, then maybe you can bring back one of those offensive linemen, but – they probably still think Jordan Morgan could be a starting left tackle. He's not a guard, but it's a big if and it's a big hope, but you better be right if you let Rashid Walker, walk out that door.
Matt LaFleur didn't have an answer for it, but did Josh Jacobs, if you had an opportunity to talk to him in the locker room, on 3rd and 1 in that last touchdown drive for the Packers, 3rd and 2, they pitched it out to Josh. And it looks like it's going to go nowhere. There are Bears all over the place on the right side. Yep. He somehow gets through there, ends up having his biggest run of the day, a 21-yard run. Did Josh Jacobs have an answer for how the heck he got out of that situation and made a huge, impactful play?
Yeah, he actually said it was a play that was designed to go outside. And as soon as he saw the look from the defense, he's like, "I knew it wasn't going to go outside." So I was like, okay. You got to press it as long as he can, meaning try to be, as patient till you can find a hole. And he said he saw guys just flowing at him, and I had to go. I had to go. So I did think it was interesting that he, when he saw the look, he said he knew that it was possibly trouble. But yet that just speaks to how good he is and how good he can be in those situations to make something out of what he thought was going nowhere.
Is there any concern with Dobbs? He didn't do much against Detroit, and in this game, he had 2 targets, no catches.
Yeah. Did you guys think that one was a drop? I don't know that I did, but some people thought that it might have been a drop. I think it was – I can't remember if it was a third down or not. I didn't think it was a drop. But anyway, that's a great question, Chewy. This is a guy who obviously we all know what happened last year when the ball wasn't coming his way. He does seem like he's matured, does seem like he's grown, but he's in a contract year, and I'm sure he wants to show somebody that he's worth something. So it's definitely one to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah. You look at his last 3 games, Rob, 2 catches, 23 yards, 4 for 20, and no catches this last one. It's just
What can he really complain about?
Right,
he's on the field as much as anybody. Like, get open. I don't know.
Well, tough love from
his heart. He's getting all the snaps.
Yeah, he played 43 of the 53 snaps. Only Watson at the receiving position played more. So, yeah. You know, it's funny. I was thinking this morning, I was looking at the snaps, and I'm like, oh, Bo Melton's basically wide receiver number three. But then I forgot Romeo Doubs played in the game, and so Bo is actually number four.
The Wicks injury, I guess, kind of caught me by surprise because then, again, Bo Melton made the great play, and they're throwing him the ball down the field. He gets an offensive pass interference penalty. I love Bo. I'm glad they have him, but it's like, why is Bo Melton playing this much? And then it made more sense after LaFleur said the ankle injury for Wicks. Is there any sort of concern that this, I know he played, but he only played six snaps. Do they think this is going to linger, or is he still going to be good to go? Because he had such a breakout game against Detroit.
Detroit, yeah.
Yeah, that one caught me by surprise afterwards. And it's funny, up at the press box, somebody even said, why is Bo Melton on the field in this situation? And then he catches the touchdown pass. But yeah, I mean, some conversations in the press box, if they, you know, would be funny sometimes with people. You know, I know the Manning cast is great. They should mic us up and have a camera on us sometimes, because I think, you know, it would be kind of funny, some of the things that we say that turn out to be like wrong. Obviously, we were wrong about Bo Melton. But I thought, you know, coming out of the game in Detroit, okay, Wicks is going to all of a sudden, you know, see his role increase. But, yeah, without knowing that the injury was bothering him that bad, he practiced. I think he was limited all week. But I guess, you know, since we don't get to see team periods, all we basically get to see is the warm-up to practice. You just don't know how limited somebody is.
Did that happen on the last play on Thanksgiving?
Well, he had been dealing with that, right, even going in, right? He'd been dealing with a calf and a lower leg injury, really, since training camp. I mean, he missed almost all of training camp. I mean, he was in and he was out. But yeah, from you know, if you just counted, you know, practice reps in camp, I mean, he didn't do very much, and you know, it bothered him in the early part of the season. And I think it's sort of a thing that's lingered all year. I do think, I would assume he's going to be able to contribute again at some point, especially the way he did in Detroit. But that was a surprise.
Rob, certainly appreciate the time, buddy. Look forward to talking to you next week. Should be an interesting week and a very formidable opponent coming up in Denver on Sunday.
Yeah, top four defense in the league, I think. And if I'm not mistaken, the Packers don't win much in Denver. The last one I can remember is the overtime
Favre
game.
Favre overtime?
Brett, Walker,
Brett hit Greg Jennings on, I think it was the first play of overtime.
It was the first play of overtime. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know how many other wins. Yeah, I don't know how many other wins they have in that city. I don't think it's many.
Oh, man, now I'm going to have to go back and look. They haven't won there in 20 years, Rob. That makes me depressed. This is a bad note to go on a victory Monday against the Bears.
Come on, man. Got to keep it real here. Got to keep it real. Real quick, Denver, here we go. They have they won at home in 19.
Okay.
They lost in Denver in 2015. They won at home in 2011.
Yeah,
they
won on the road in 07.
Won in 07. Lost there in 99.
Thanks, Chu.
Lost there in 1990. They tied in, that was in Milwaukee. They lost there in 1984. They lost there in 1978. They lost there in 1975. That's the only win there.
And it took overtime and a Brett Favre touchdown throw in 2007. Yeah. There we go. Great research done by Rob Demosky.
Yeah, nice.
Appreciate you, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a good one. We'll see you.
Rob Demosky joins us on Mondays here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. If you're looking for the early gift of basketball this holiday season, buy tickets to the Milwaukee Hoop Showdown taking place Friday, December 19th, featuring Wisconsin and Villanova at 7 p.m. Before that, you get UW-Milwaukee taking on South Dakota at 4 o'clock. Two big men's basketball games, one electric night. All under one roof. Check out the Holiday Showdown, the Milwaukee Hoop Showdown, happening this holiday season. Fiserforum.com/showdown, or just be caller 7 right now. Caller 7 wins two tickets to watch the Hoops action on Friday, December 19th. Caller 7, 800-990-3776 for tickets for the Milwaukee Hoop Showdown.